You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Introducing the two-way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the two-way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the two-way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Good morning, Bucknutters. Welcome to the Bucknuts Morning Five here on Friday, April 19th, 2024. I am Dave Biddle. I'll be joined by Jonah Booker in just a moment. Can't wait to hear from Jay Book on his thoughts. I didn't get a chance to talk to Jay Book last week because I had to be at Ohio State really early, which would have been like 5 in the morning for Jay Book on his time. So looking forward to getting Jay Book's thoughts on a lot of stuff. And the spring game hadn't even happened yet. So I just want to, we're going to look back on what we learned overall during spring ball. We're also going to talk about the transfer portal. When we talk about spring ball, I'm just going to go rapid fire with Jay Book. Like, what'd you learn about the quarterbacks? What'd you learn about the wide receivers? So on and so on. So, by the way, thank you to Dan Rubin for covering for me on Wednesday. My man Dan, appreciate that. All right, before we get to my man Jay Book, I want to tell you about our guys at Manscaped and a great deal you can get. And another funny ad read so I can make all of you laugh and make fun of me. They do a great job. If they weren't so good at what they do with grooming, they could just all be writers because their ad reads are hilarious. For example, call them what you want, knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, etc. But our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for their two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love, too. So join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and use code BUCKNUTS for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town. By the way, I got to say, I also like their beard and mustache and neck trimmer, the handyman. It's seriously the best electric razor that you can find. I used to not like electric razors, and I love this one. So there you go, the handyman. I'm going to throw that in there too, even though that wasn't in the copy. Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. 20% off plus free shipping with the code BUCKNUTS at manscaped.com. For the best your boys have ever looked, trust Manscaped. Bam. All right, I know I just put a smile on my guy's face over here. Yeah, there he is. Yeah, buddy. I always love seeing your smiling face on a Friday. Usually the Manscaped ad will do that. So good seeing you, Jay Book.
Good morning, man. Hey, it gets me every time. One thing I can count on, man, you're going to make me laugh before the show starts, and we're going to have good conversation on Fridays. Those two things, along with death and taxes, are guaranteed on our Bucknut show.
And as you know, I'm going to say, I'm here to entertain. So I'm glad. I'm just glad we can tell the good people about Manscaped and we can put smiles on faces. All right, before we get to what you learned at various positions during spring ball, not just the spring game itself, but throughout spring ball, the transfer portal, it's been quiet so far. I don't think we expected to stay that way. Cedric Hawkins, and this is nothing against the kid. I completely forgot he was on the team, by the way. Completely forgot he's on the team. So he's the only one so far, unless you count Dallin Hayden, which we knew that like 3 weeks ago or something like that, or 2 weeks ago. So just get into that a little bit. I'm surprised that at both arrivals and departures, I think Ohio State's still going to add maybe one or two. I don't know who they're going to add, but they're going to lose a handful of guys. I'm just curious to get your thoughts on the portal so far.
Yeah, I'm a little surprised overall how slow the portal has been, Dave. You know, there was a lot of talk that Ohio State was probably losing anywhere between 7 to 9 players. Now, that still could be true, Players are still going to be doing their post-spring game talks with the coaches and everything. But the thing that I've been hearing, Dave, is a lot of these kids are being careful. I mean, when you look at what's been happening over the portal, I think the number is something out there is like 50% of the kids that enter the transfer portal don't end up finding a home. A lot of these kids are being paid, you know, fairly well to be, you know, second and third stringers here. I know talking to Brian, one of their biggest objectives is making sure that they're taking care of the kids at Ohio State NIL-wise, not just the starters, but a lot of the depth players. Because at the end of the day, this is going to be a long season. They're going to need the rotation. What did Coach Day say on our spaces that we had with him, Dave? They want to go three deep at each position. Only way that you can do that is to retain your roster. So talking to these guys and letting them know, like, hey, you might not be a starter, but you know what? We're going to take care of you off the field. We're going to develop you. You're going to get a great education at Ohio State. And on top of that, you could be part of the rotation. You look at the first five games of the season, there should be blowouts. So a lot of those guys are going to get a lot of playing time there. Or would you rather go to somewhere else where they're not going to be paying you as much? They're not going to guarantee you that you're going to play. You're going to have to speed crash learning their playbook in hopes that you get on the field. So the grass is not always greener. I think what we're going to see as we transition and learn more about these transfer portal things, Dave, is you're going to see that first window is going to be the massive one. That's where you're going to see a lot of the movement in that first transfer portal window. And then the second one, you're going to get some guys here and there. I mean, when you look at the offense alignment, that's kind of been the biggest question mark, Dave, is would Ohio State go and be aggressive at offense alignment in the transfer portal? But if you look at Ohio State and you look all around college football, Dave, there's not a lot of high-end guys that have entered the transfer portal this cycle for this particular window. So it's not just Ohio State. A lot of teams are retaining their players.
All right, let's do it. Rapid fire. J-Book, what did you learn about quarterbacks this spring?
I still think they got a ways to go, Dave. I think you have two capable quarterbacks that can win you a national championship. Who that's going to be, I know there's been some smoke from other outlets saying that Will Howard has officially been named the guy, but nothing's official until it's actually been, you know, said. I still think that the quarterback battle is going to continue to go on. But I'm comfortable with either guy. I think Howard or Devin Brown have the chops to lead this football team. Now, when you look at, you know, which one's going to bring the veteran leadership, you're also going to look at Will Howard. Will Devin Brown be able to stay healthy? That's been the biggest question mark. He's done that so far this spring, which is huge for them. And then if you look at the quarterbacks, you have to feel really good about the future, because Julian Sand looks like he has the potential to be a big-time player in the future. So just going through the spring, my overall thoughts is got two guys that are capable. I don't know what a lot of Ohio State fans thought about Will Howard coming in here. I thought he was going to be a veteran guy who's going to be able to get under center, who's going to be able to do some things as far as moving the offense with his legs, with his arm, making some right throws, being a good decision maker. I didn't view Will Howard coming into here, Dave, as this uber talented, game changing type of quarterback. And when you're on social media, you almost get that sense from a lot of Ohio State fans that they thought like this was going to be a Justin Fields type of game-changing quarterback. I didn't view that way. Did you? Or how did you view Will Howard? I kind of viewed it as an insurance policy.
I viewed Will Howard when I think you do too, right? We don't need to put it out there, what he's getting via NIL. And so when he transferred here, I was thinking like 99.9% he is the starter. And maybe, if you gave me truth serum, I'd say 100%. And I do think he's going to be the starter. I would bet, you know, I don't think it's 99.9% by any means at this point, but I still think he's going to be the starter when they trot out there against Akron. And if he stays healthy, I think he's going to be the starter all year. Let me ask you this. Julian saying it's like the hype was just immense for 14 practices, right? I mean, not right away, but about midway through spring, I mean, the hype was through the roof all the way to practice 14, which we got to see practice 14. It was the day before the spring game at the Horseshoe. He looked great the first half of the scrimmage, and then, you know, it was inconsistent in the second half. Then played poorly in the spring game, and everybody's now, like, not talking about Julian saying, What do you make of Julian saying, because I keep saying, like, listen, I think the most important thing is overall he had a really good spring. Yeah, he had a bad spring game. So where are you at with Julian saying?
I'm very high on Julian saying. I'm not worried about the spring game. I think he is ahead of where he should be, Dave, coming in on short notice from Alabama into the Ohio State program. Right now, the chances are, because he's so young, he's so fresh into the playbook, he's operating just with God-given talent right now. As he continues to grow, he continues to get bigger, continues to get stronger, continues to be coached up, and he continues to develop the rapport. He is going to be a quarterback who has the potential to be very, very special here, Dave. But I think he's ahead of where he should be as a true freshman. And I like Aaron Nolan too, Dave. And I know he really didn't get much playing time in the spring game. I thought he showed some things with his ability. Aaron Nolan's probably going to take a little bit longer to develop, but I think he has the potential to be really good. And then you look at Tavian St. Clair, who's coming up behind him. You have to feel really good about where Ohio State's sitting quarterback-wise. I know there's going to be a lot of hostile debating and fighting amongst, you know, Ohio State fans throughout the summer about who should be the quarterback, who should be the starter. But at the end of the day, there's so much talent. There's so many weapons. They're going to be coached up by Chip Kelly and Ryan Day. That whoever they trot out there under center, they're going to go out there and ball out. I have the utmost confidence. But circling back to your original question, I love what I'm seeing from Julian Sand. I'm not worried about the spring game. I think he's ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I think we have Will Howard for this year. Devin Brown sitting right there if he gets banged up. And then Julian Sand, and it may be Julian Sand sitting right there if Will Howard gets banged up. And then Julian Sand will take over as a sophomore next year. I love the way it's setting up. By the way, we have one of our very loyal listeners. Got a lot of loyal listeners. Mika, happy birthday. Happy birthday to Mika. So there we go. Mika, very happy birthday. And having it on a Friday is really cool, too. That's like
happy birthday.
It's like I love having birthdays on a Friday or a Saturday, so that's perfect. Good for you. All right. No getting up early for work tomorrow unless you have to work on Saturday, which shouldn't assume you don't. All right. Offensive line. What did you learn about the offensive line this spring?
I learned that they're not settled on the right side of the offensive line, and that is something that we all were hoping that would be settled. I think that throwing Carson Hinsman in there has really put a wrench into things, and I don't mean that in a bad way. I think that if you're going to be able to get high-level play from Carson Hinsman at the right guard spot, it's only going to make this offensive line better because he's going to be kind of that swing guy. He can go to center if needed. If he's going to compete at a high level right next to Seth McLaughlin at guard, which is Carson Hinsman's natural position, I think that is a strength. I thought Luke Montgomery, they gave him every swing of the bat initially to start to win that job. And he obviously hasn't locked it down yet. Keep Integra in the program is critical, Dave. I think that is very important. There is not a lot of depth when it comes to tackle in this room right now. We need Justin Fry to step it up when it comes to recruiting the tackle position, because after Josh Simmons, after Fryer, there's not a lot of guys out there. And so Tegra is very important to this offensive line because he's that next man up, and they've been repping him at the guard position. What did you ask Coach Day during the spaces? Do you have a championship offensive line? And he kind of dodged it, Dave. He kind of dodged that question.
He doesn't know. He didn't want to lie.
Yeah.
He doesn't know. He doesn't know yet.
And, you know, I asked you, do you think – they had the potential.
I don't know.
Yeah. Do you think they had the potential? Because obviously right now they don't, because they're still trying to figure out the right side. But if they can figure it out with what they have with McLaughlin at center, Simmons looks like he has the potential to be an all Big Ten left tackle. Can Donovan Jackson get back to where he was playing at a high level when he was, 2 years ago? With that being said, do you think this offensive line, Dave Biddle, has the potential to be championship caliber?
It does have the potential because I don't know if I'd say this if Chip Kelly wasn't here. I think he's going to do things that's going to help this offensive line schematically. And fundamentally, I think he's just going to be a big lift to Justin Fry. He might save Justin Fry's job. Justin Fry, his former offensive coordinator in title only at UCLA since Chip was calling the plays. So I don't, if Chip wasn't here, I'd have a lot more trepidation about it. But with, you know, they're going to run the quarterback a lot more than they have with Ryan Day under Ryan Day. And that's not saying much. And just his run concepts that he brings to the table. I just feel like, yes, it has the potential. When you look at these guys, can Donovan Jackson finally live up to his five-star status? You said he played well 2 years ago. He played okay, I thought, 2 years ago. But he played kind of poorly last year as a junior. I mean, he's going the wrong way. But maybe this year as a senior, he'll live up to it. Josh Simmons, when he came out there for interviews a couple weeks ago, bam, two tickets to the gun show. This guy, not like he was small last year, but, man, that's the Mick effect right there. So I think as a three-year starter, third-year starter, second at Ohio State, I think he's going to be good at left tackle. I think McLaughlin's going to hold it down at center. This is spin doctoring, I know, Jay Book, but the one good thing we have going at right guard is that we do have a lot of options there with Carson Hensman, Tegra, and Luke Montgomery. But I was sitting there in the press box like, what in the world? Like, Carson's taking the first-team reps at right guard? Okay, he must be a little ahead of Luke. Luke will be the next guy in. No, it was Tegra that was the next guy in with the first-team offense. The second offense that took the field, actually, when Lincoln was out there, that was the second team offense. So first team, that's why it was, you know, for quarterbacks, it was Will had the first few reps, then Lincoln, then Devin, because Devin was on the first team, if that makes any sense. That's just how they did it. They didn't really explain that. My point is, Luke Montgomery was number one all spring. And then in the spring game, he was like running third on the depth chart. So
yeah, it's kind of weird.
Hopefully they can land at right tackle in a perfect world. I don't think this is going to happen. Land a right tackle in the portal that can be a good starter and then move Josh Fryer inside to right guard unless someone's better than him, like a Carson Hensman or a Tegra or maybe Luke.
Here's the part that worries me, Dave. You can tell me if you agree with me or not. Is Josh Fryer is the biggest question mark on the offensive line to me because I'm still not sold that he is a right tackle. I know they're gassing him up saying that he had – you know, a really good winter workout session. But is he flexible enough to be a tackle at a high level? I know he got the all Big Ten accolades, Dave, but we saw, you know, a lot of times where he was beat, you know, right at the ball, the snap of the football. Now, with that being said, you're going to need that right side, regardless of who is there. And you mentioned that's a great point. They do have a lot of options at the guard position. Now, the analyst that they hired, I think that's going to be a big help there. That came over from UCLA that they
Drevno.
Hired. Drevno. I think that's going to be a solid hire there. But you have to look at where they're at with Justin Fry contract wise, Dave. I mean, they released the contract details, and he's the only one that didn't get an extension. He's on his last leg of his deal. We've seen this story before, kind of similar situation to Tony Alford, wasn't on his last legs. Same situation with Corey Dennis. They just kind of let that contract expire. So to me, I think this is a make or break year for Justin Fry. We've seen his recruiting efforts so far. It still leaves a lot to be desired. Now, he does have an opportunity to, you know, sign a really solid class. But that's twofold, Dave. You, at Ohio State, you got to be able to recruit. You got to be able to develop talent. And at a place like Ohio State, we shouldn't be going on this long where the offensive line is the question mark. We shouldn't be going on this long at a place like Ohio State to where it could potentially prevent this team from reaching their ultimate goal, which is hoisting up the national championship. When you got a two-headed monster in the running back room, And Will Howard potentially running the football there, or Devin Brown running the football there. I need guys getting to the second level. And when I saw Seth McLaughlin in that spring game getting up to the third level, trying to block Caleb Downs on a run play, it was tears of joy, Dave. Because you remember last year, they struggled getting off that combo blocks. They struggled getting to that next level. And that was something that the running game suffered because those guys struggled to get to the next level. Seeing a veteran like Seth getting to the third level, I was just like, I can't believe it. But yeah, as far as the $200,000 pay cut, Jerry Emick had emailed me and said that was an error. that they had originally sent out the Ohio State. When they sent out the contract details, they said Justin Fry got his salary cut by $200,000, but Jerry has said that was an error on their part. He's still on the same $1 million salary, but his contract does expire at the end of the year.
It's a little over $1 million, isn't it? Isn't it like $1.3 million for Fry?
It's up there.
Remember, it wasn't that long ago where they were like, we're never going to get into the $1 million business with coordinators, let alone like position coaches. They said, we're not going to be paying coordinators millions of dollars. Like Knowles and Chip Kelly each make $2 million now. You got the O-line coach making $1.3 million.
Speaking of spending, you see Big Boy G yesterday saying, hey, I'm going crazy with the spending. I'm spending money left and right. It's kind of ironic that he's on his way out the door and he's like, I'm big spender. I'm dropping bags everywhere. We about to upgrade facilities. It's supposed to go to the Board of Trustees next month for approval. They're going to be expanding the facilities. I'm like, where is this at? You know, long time ago, G, why does it take you, you know, in your last few months in your tenure before this happened? It's Ross Bjork that's pushing that envelope, Dave. That's what I think.
And he has nothing to lose now, man. He's like, basically, now you're, it's like the old John Cooper. You want to gamble, but you want to gamble with my chips. Like, now he gets to gamble with others. If things go south, he's like, I didn't say, like, the new WAC was going to be, like, $5 billion over budget. That's not my fault. I can't wait to see the new WAC. What's that going to be like 10 years from now? I can't wait though. What's crazy, people don't understand. It's had major upgrades, but I don't think people realize the WAC was built during the Earl Bruce era, 85 or maybe it was 86. It opened 85 or 86. It opened. That's when the WAC opened, and the indoor field really hasn't changed. The surface has, and the signage has. So they juiced it up, but the size of it hasn't. Not that it's small by any means. It's the size of a full football field, but, yeah, they need their own football facility, and they're going to get it. I love it.
I would just be happy when they get rid of that split turf that's inside the Woody and actually upgrade to the modern, the poly-type turf that the New York Giants and the NFL PA is pushing towards every single NFL club to upgrade to the new modern-day technology, which is going to limit the amount of lower leg injuries and the soft tissue injuries that we often see in the Woody. I mean, how many times, Dave, during the season, a guy plays on Saturday and then come Wednesday, he's on the questionable report, or Thursday, he's on the questionable report because of something that happened in the turf inside the Woody. I'm like, man, rip that out of there. Like, this is a billion-dollar entity. Get that trash turf out of there and upgrade it to what the NFLPA wants these guys to start playing on, which can limit the amount of injuries. I mean, the stakes are too high, too much money involved to be out here losing guys because you have poor turf inside the Woody.
Amen. I mean, gosh, you're spending all this money. I mean, upgrade the turf. It's not cheap, but compared to all this other stuff, it's cheap. You know what I mean? Comparatively speaking. All right. Rapid fire, wide receivers. What did you learn? And furthermore, is anyone, if they all stay healthy, is anyone going to play meaningful snaps if these four stay healthy? Emeka Egbuka, J.J. Smith, Carnell Tate, Brandon Ennis. If those four guys stay healthy, is everybody else on the outside looking in as far as getting meaningful reps in big games? Or do you think Heartland might use a bigger rotation?
I think he's going to have a bigger rotation with the amount of games. I think Bryson Rogers is a guy who has had a really good spring, Dave, that I think has deserved and earned the right to start seeing some playing time. I will say this, Jeremiah Smith, you know, he's obviously been the story of the camp with all of his high-flying plays. Brandon Ennis being injured, I think that set him back a little bit, but they don't think it's going to be too serious. He should be back making the impact there. Can Emeka Egbuka break the all-time Ohio State receiving record? I think he has an opportunity to do it. I know a lot of people are looking at the year that he had last year, especially with the injuries and things of that nature. He really didn't have the year that people thought he was going to have. I look for Emeka Egbuka to bounce back and have a really big year, Dave. He's going to be the one that leads. Little disappointed from what we've been hearing about Jaden Ballard, Dave, when Coach Day are still saying about Jaden Ballard that he needs to step up. We're like, hey, man, it's time to start having a little sense of urgency. You've been here, you know, for how many years now, and the coach is still saying you need to step up. Right now, they need someone with more leadership like Ballard. Like, hey, you've been here. You should be leading the charge for those younger guys And so they're incredibly talented, very inexperienced after Emeka Ebuka. But I'm not worried about the wide receiver position, Dave. That's one of those positions that, you know, whoever you trot out there, those guys are going to be playing at a high level.
Yeah, I'm definitely not worried about it. My question is, like, how great is this unit going to be? You know, like, they're going to be – is this, we're going to look back like, man, this was the best ever at Ohio State. It was just one of the top 15, one of the top five. Like, geez. Emeka, J.J. Smith, and Carnell Tate in whatever order. That is – that top three is – and then you add in Brandon Ennis. Can't forget about him just because he was banged up in the spring game. He had a good spring, and people were talking about how great he is. All right, let's skip ahead. I'm not going to even waste time on the defensive line or the DBs because we know D-line stacked, DBs, most stacked position on a stacked team. Linebackers, I'm curious, what did you learn about the linebackers during spring?
I was pleasantly surprised about how well they performed, Dave, because that was the biggest question mark coming in to the spring on the defensive side of the football. You know, the front end and the back end were loaded. With losing Tommy and Steele, I think you're still going to get an upgrade athleticism from the guys that they have in there. Cody Simon, he's a war daddy, that's had a lot of minutes under his belt. They really like the way he's going to play. But it was the C.J. Hicks and the Sonny Styles and the Arvell Reeses and the Gabe Powers. Those are the heart of the defense. Getting a 6'4", 240 middle linebacker in Arvell Reese, who's twitched up, brings that Cleveland Glenville type of toughness to the middle of that defense. I think that right there is going to provide tremendous depth. C.J. Hicks, and if what they're saying is true, that the light has come on, you got to give credit to James for really, you know, accelerating his growth and development. Because if CJ's coming on and he's balling out, then I feel really good about it. Because, you know, the dime package that they've been working on, Dave, where a lot of people don't know it, but they got Sonny Styles in the middle of the defense. They had Jermaine Matthews and Denzel Burke as your outside corners. And then on the inside, you had Igbinosen and you had Jordan Hancock with Caleb Downs on the back end. And then you'll have, you know, whoever other safety that you're going to rotate in there. But having Sonny Styles right there in the middle of that defense in your dime package, that's the type of versatility that you want to see from a Jim Knowles defense, because you're elite across the board. You're four deep at corner. But having those options to where you can, okay, now we're going to have a package with Sonny and CJ on the field together. We're going to have a package where Gabe and Arvell can play together, and especially with their length. So the depth and the explosive athletes that they have at the position, that's going to allow these guys to do some filthy, creative things on that defensive front. And I love it, Dave. I think that if they continue to develop, this defense is going to be, you know, top two, top three, not hyping it up too much in the country. I mean, I would be surprised if it's not a top five defense, Dave, because what do we talk about, Dave? They're like 10 deep on the defensive line with the rotation if they're truly going to rotate guys.
And this might be the best secondary they've ever had. And again, I do not say that lightly, because they've had some elite secondaries. This might be the best. It's crazy.
Yeah. I mean, hey, Matt G, as a safety coach, like, hey, who would have thought Jalen McClain? And that's the guy that Coach Day has mentioned several times now that has caught his eye, got him a pick six. The way he broke on that football, Dave, I stood up like, woo, like, hey, okay, young fella, that's how you jump around. Bimbansu, he's another one. Bansu is a kid that has been balling out this spring. And then you get Malik Harford back, and then Bryce West, and then you talk about Miles Lockhart. They thought had a really good spring. And then you start talking about some of these other younger guys on the back end there. But yeah, this secondary is deep, man. They are absolutely playing some tremendous football. And the thing that I love, and we talked about it, Dave, is I love the way the secondary finding the football, getting their head around, and they're jumping routes, man. Like,
oh, boy.
Once you start getting your head around, you're jumping routes, you're getting hands on the football, that's when you start seeing guys just make a play. That's when you start seeing the confidence building. That's when you see dudes wanting to take pictures as a team in the end zone and running out on the field with each other, because that's the type of swagger you want from the secondary. and they're tough as nails on that back end, man. Those New Jersey boys, Dave, they bring an element of toughness to that secondary that can't be replicated.
I tell you what, I mean, and Igbinosin, you know, I mean, Denzel Burke, it's crazy. Those guys have attitude, and they are so good. Igbinosin's out there in the spring game like it's the Michigan game. You know, just just playing with so much fire. I love him. Right. They're so stacked. Jordan Hancock has turned out to be the perfect slot, safety slash corner. Jermaine Matthews is out there. He's your number four corner. He can play the slot. He can play outside and do a little bit of everything. You got Calvin Simpson-Hunt. It's crazy. Lorenzo Styles Jr.
I forgot about Calvin Simpson-Hunt, Dave. He's another one that looked really good, too. I mean, he got dunked on a couple times by Jeremiah Smith on some of those jump balls that we've seen clips of. And you know, everybody's been getting dunked on by Jeremiah Smith. But Calvin Simpson-Hunt, he's an absolute baller, man. And he's a guy that's going to compete next year, I think, for a starting position, him and Jermaine Matthews. But Aaron, they mentioned Aaron Scott in the chat. He had a lot of good reps. He could have had him a pick as well, but he dropped it. But you look at the length, you can't teach Aaron Scott's length. What, he's about 6'1" corner, you know, long wingspan there. Really good footwork. He's going to be coached up by OG Walt. But those corners, man, they are special. And then we can't forget about Mrs. Sanchez, son. He's coming up through the pipeline. And then you look at Fahim, who's potentially could be a Buckeye, the five-star safety out of Maryland. Naheem Alford, five-star out of Alabama, who's in the pipeline. Like, it's continued to roll, man. And the thing that you love, Dave, is because this secondary operates with such a different swagger, they have such a bounce to their step. When you get those recruits in the building and they see how those boys operate, how they celebrate with each other and how they can handle themselves and go about their business, that's a culture, man. That's how you change a culture. So those younger guys coming up, they're like, hey, man, I was taught by the OGs how to operate. And so that's how we're going to continue this tradition.
I love it. Yeah, as you mentioned, they've got studs coming in next year, including the number one corner.
Trey McNutt. Yep.
Devin Sanchez. Absolutely love it. I love that Mrs. Sanchez is a loyal listener of the show, too. So that's really cool. And participates. Mr. Sanchez listens to the show, too. So that's awesome having them a part of the Bucknuts family and, more importantly, the Ohio State family. Tim Walton, I thought he would do a good job as a recruiter. I did not expect him to just turn into, like, the best corner recruiter in the country. But I'm here for it. I'm also here for Jonah Booker. Great stuff, as always. No surprise, but great stuff, as always. From Jay Book, always bringing great knowledge. Thank you, Jonah Booker. Thanks to all of you for tuning into the show. We appreciate it very much. Hope everyone has a great day and a great weekend.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.